Steve, I'm going to introduce you, and then you're bringing the panel up.
Yeah.
Get this straight here. Carla, do we have to do a roll again?
Yes.
Okay. Council will please come to order. Carla, will you please call the roll?
Bish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Novick.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Hales.
Quorum is present. Mayor Hales is en route but has asked us to begin the hearing. This is the afternoon. Time certain. Carla, would you please read item number 619?
Adopt the recommendations in the Foster Road Transportation and Streetscape Plan.
Commissioner Steve Novick.
Colleagues, it occurs to me that today we're having a great time talking about things that the Bureau of Transportation can do with other people's money. And this morning we talked about things we might be able to do with the school district's money. Today we will talk about wonderful things we'll be able to do with PDC's money and the federal government's money. We have an ambitious goal of providing the vibrant and distinctive neighborhoods along the Foster Road corridor with safe streets and walkable communities. This effort has been a citywide collaboration. The Portland Bureau of Transportation has worked in conjunction with BES, BPS, Parks, and the Water Bureau, and with neighbors and community stakeholders over the past 18 months to identify and prioritize values, goals, and ideas that will direct safety and transportation improvements to Foster Road and the adjacent areas. The fruit of this labor is the Foster Road Transportation and Streetscape Plan. I want to thank Foster Carter neighbors, in particular the members of the Stakeholder Advisory Committee, for their time and commitment to this effort, and thank all the organizations that contributed to this effort, including Southeast Works, the Foster Area Business Association, the Foster Powell Neighborhood Association, the Foster Green Eco District, the Mount Scott Arleta Neighborhood Association, the Creston Kenilworth Neighborhood Association, Lentz Neighborhood Association, Southeast Uplift, the Latino Network, Rose CDC, and the Portland Mercado. Foster Road is one of our high crash corridors, meaning it's one of the 10 areas in Portland that has the highest need for safety improvements. More than 1,200 crashes have occurred on Foster Road over the last 10 years. To date, 8 people have died on Foster, 5 of them being pedestrians. We have a shared pressing responsibility to ensure that all Portlanders, regardless of their zip code, have access to the basic, safe transportation infrastructure that's the backbone of thriving, safe communities. The project was originally made possible through a community planning and development grant from Metro in a partnership with the Portland Development Commission. The study area for the streetscape plan extends from Southeast 50th Avenue to the western edge of the Lentz Town Center at Southeast 90th Avenue. Recommended changes to the street and urban design are meant to transform Foster Road from a largely high-speed, auto-oriented corridor, although autos will continue to come through, into a pedestrian-oriented place accessible by all transportation modes. The recommended improvements are wider sidewalks in Lentz east of 82nd, connecting directly to Lentz Town Center with street trees and new curb ramps, 6 new rapid flash beacons with marked crossings and median islands, bicycle lanes along Foster Road, conversion of 4 travel lanes to 3, which has a demonstrated safety benefit of reducing the number of collisions for all modes of transportation, 1 redesigned intersection at Southeast 72nd with a full new signal, 5 curb extensions, which shorten the distance the pedestrians need to travel across the road, continuous bike lanes from the 50s to Southeast 90th Avenues connecting to Lentz Town Center to bring the road in line with the city's bicycle plan for 2030, active signage at Powell and at Holgate to alert fast-moving traffic to slow down and to alert them of pedestrians crossing, adding street trees, street lighting, and transit improvements throughout the corridor. One improvement I am particularly pleased with is the addition of a modified signal at Southeast Holgate Boulevard, which will now permit left turns from Foster Road onto Holgate Boulevard, which is not being able to make that left turn is something I've struggled with numerous times trying to make my way from the SEIU headquarters to anywhere to the west. New LED signs will prohibit right turns on red from Southeast Holgate when pedestrians cross Foster Road, and the curb extension will provide a smaller turning radius, requiring vehicles turning right into Foster Road to do so at a somewhat slower speed. Recent transportation investments in Lentz Town Center and PBOT's upcoming 50s bikeway project will bookend the recommended elements of this plan. Taken together, Foster Road will become a safer and more accessible corridor for the rest of the city and the region. Construction should begin in 2015 and end in 2016. I want to talk a little bit about some trade-offs. Throughout the process, the hardest decision involved the reduction of the street from 4 lanes to 3. That conversion means that it will take somewhat longer during peak hours to drive the corridor, up to 3 minutes longer at the busiest time. So peak travel time from 50th to 90th and Foster may increase from 7 to 10 minutes. For the average Foster Road driver, the additional travel time will be about 2 minutes, or about 10% of the total travel time in an average trip. The conversion from four lanes to three will eliminate one of the biggest contributors to crashes, the so-called double threat. That is, when pedestrians or drivers crossing a four-lane road get hit because one vehicle stops to allow them to cross, but another in an adjacent lane does not. This process, well, let me stop to say, I mean, again, there are trade-offs, and almost every stretch of road is both a neighborhood street to the people who live along it and a commuting corridor for people coming in from farther out. And so there are trade-offs involved, and there are going to be people. I mean, 2 minutes can seem like a long time. So there are trade-offs involved here. We're asking you to make the judgment that safety takes priority. The public process has included multiple opportunities for public feedback. Staff held 5 open houses, over 20 community meetings with organizations, and many one-on-one conversations with businesses and residents. The community at large, the Stakeholder Advisory Committee, and staff had a clear and transparent process to analyze, identify, and thoroughly discuss the pros and cons of the plan. Staff presented the Foster Streetscape Plan at open houses and received over 430 survey responses plus dozens of written comments. PBOT staff also reached out to low-income, non-English-speaking, and immigrant Portlanders throughout the public involvement process. And in fact, recently, we took some extra time and delayed this presentation a bit in order to ensure that we did some additional outreach, particularly to those communities. Traditionally underrepresented and underserved communities endorsed the plan at even higher rates than traditionally represented community members. Community leaders involved in this process have overwhelmingly supported the Foster Streetscape Plan moving forward to prioritize safety and livability over speed. And now we'll hear from Art Pierce and Mauricio Leclerc from the Bureau of Transportation.
All right. Good afternoon, Council and Mayor Hales. My name is Art Pierce. I'm the Manager of Policy Planning and Projects for the Bureau of Transportation, a new group that is working to really tie the pieces together from long-range policy direct to project delivery. And I think this project here that we have for you today is a great example of the types of products that we can bring forward when we try to have some intention around what our policy outcomes are that we want to produce, and then design and run a process towards those outcomes. We are very excited to bring this project for you today, and as you can see from the full council chambers, we're not alone. There's a very broad community that is supporting us in moving this project forward, and I think this is a very much a testament to when you have a robust and thorough public involvement process, you can bring forward a well-supported plan with reasoned recommendations that are balancing the needs of many, those that are longstanding residents and those that are new residents, those that have varying backgrounds and abilities. So we're very pleased to be able to bring this to you today. This is essentially a piece of a larger strategy, and I think just last week or the week before, you saw another part of it related to the Lentz Town Center proposals. Was that last week?
May 28th.
And so this is sort of a part of that partnership in which the Transportation Bureau is bringing forward the infrastructure support that's needed to help the Foster Corridor become the future place that we want it to be and support the place that it is now today. So we're very excited to be able to bring this for you. Mauricio, I'm always happy to be here with him because he runs such a thorough process and brings forward such a good process. So I'm going to let him speak in more detail about the project and the process that he brings for you, and then we'll be happy to ask or answer any questions. So.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Mauricio Leclerc, Senior Planner. With me is also, with us, is also Lewis Wardrop, the engineer, traffic engineer for the project. So, the commissioner did such a good job introducing the project. So I think all I can do justice is provide graphics. You know, yeah. Here's actually the commissioner in action, I think, helping children cross the street. But basically, it's adopted the recommendations of the Foster Transportation Streetscape Plan. This plan started formally about 18 months ago. We had a terrific stakeholder advisory committee, and we held 12 meetings. So we appreciate very much their time and input and energy and recommendations. But actually, the plan and the effort in the community started many years ago when, as a response to all the fatalities on Foster, people got together, the neighborhoods, the leaders of the community, the organizations there, the businesses, to say something needs to be done. They approached the city, they approached the county and many other organizations to locate funding for safety improvements. And we've done that, and we have the funding to implement most of these recommendations. So big kudos to those who came before we started the project to allocate and push for this project. So I'll be talking about the last 18 months now. So we'll provide a little bit of project context, a little bit about public involvement, some of the plan recommendations in more graphic form, and also how we went about prioritizing and funding these. So the historic slide that I always like to put in, Foster Road used to be just the widest street in the city. This is the remnant of the streetcar era. It used to run in turn at 72nd, then it went to Woodstock. But it left the big street in some remnants of the streetcar era development, particularly around Holgate. Subsequent years, we became an auto-oriented city, and this corridor has become, ever since, a very auto-oriented, fast-moving street. And being so wide, it's very hard to cross. It goes from our study area goes from Powell, crosses Holgate and 82nd, and it terminates where it joins with Woodstock to create the couplet, a lens. Actually, I wonder if I can do that. The policy context, we did have a plan that was implemented in 2003. It led to some recommendations that you see out there, such as meeting islands. But it hasn't been enough to turn the tide of crashes and fatalities. Since then, we've also had some policy changes. The streetcar system concept plan called for long-term, not tomorrow, long-term, a potential streetcar along the corridor. The bicycle plan for 2030 did call for bicycle facilities on it. And in 2012, it was designated as a high crash corridor, one of 10 in the city, as the commissioner mentioned. And also, we worked with the community to secure $5.25 million. For this, two from the Lens Urban Renewal, and that leverage another $2.25 million from Lens Urban Renewal, and that leverage $3 million in regional funds, and hopefully our friends at Microsoft will let us continue. Minimize it. Beep. Right here. Oh, got it. This. Beep. Okay. Thank you. Community participation, right? bringing us along here. So in terms of land use, we have, it's a commercial corridor expected to have growth or large sites, as you discussed, we discussed on May 28th, a lot of catalytic sites and historic, beautiful historic buildings. However, its potential has not been met, and actually more than bringing people together, like we would like a main street, is more of a barrier. It's a barrier between the neighborhoods to the north and to the south and to the east and west. It's also a barrier for kids getting to school. Here's a map showing the elementary schools in the area, three of which you need to cross Foster to access your school. And we heard clearly from parents and people from schools that Foster is not safe. In terms of existing conditions, it does have good transit service. We have the Hawthorne Line, number 14, it's a frequent service line. And the cross-section varies from wide to less wide to not so wide. At its widest, the streetcar era Foster is 94 feet wide. That allows for wide sidewalks, 17 and a half feet, four travel lanes, parking on both sides, and leftover space in the middle, about 4 feet. Then that goes from Powell to about 72nd Avenue. From 72nd to 80th, approaching 82nd Avenue, the sidewalks narrow to 15. We have four travel lanes, but parking on the south side. On the north, we have what we call pro-time parking. That means you can park during off-peak hours. So it says no parking 7 to 9, but actually nobody uses it. It's actually nobody dares to park, actually, and it's actually used as a four-travel, as a four-lane road. And in Lens, the same configuration, four travel lanes with parking on the south side, but the sidewalks become very substandard, 5 feet with utilities and poles in the middle. Cycling conditions, it's people use it. We counted them. But, the conditions, there are enough dedicated facilities for them, and they ride on the sidewalk where there is nobody parked, or they take a travel lane among fast-moving vehicles. Usually, the corridor, the speed around here is about 38 miles per hour. It's limited to 35. Main streets are usually much lower. Pedestrian conditions in Lens, as I mentioned, not good at all. We have 5 feet, as I mentioned. Fast-moving vehicles, the truck in the middle here is actually was going very fast. Leave that when. And as it passes through. And you can see the utilities in the middle, hydrants and utility poles, making it not accessible for somebody with disabilities to get through. And so they don't meet our policy. As the commissioner mentioned, it's one of 10 high crash corridors, 1,200 crashes in the last 10 years. About over 500 crashes of them involved injuries, 8 fatalities, and the speeds are higher than the speed limit. Public involvement, 12 advisory committee meetings, 5 open houses, 450 people participated. That included some of the open houses with FLIP, 20-plus meetings with stakeholders in the area, 500 responses to several surveys. We had a survey at the end, but also in the beginning to set us, you know, what are your priorities. 15,000 flyers went twice in the last open houses to households and businesses, and the last one actually showed the recommendations for the cross-section in the flyer itself in many languages. And then we, as the commissioner said, language-specific outreach was done in the beginning, middle, and in the end we had a special outreach process. And throughout we had media and blog coverage, several blogs and local media as well as the Oregonian and Tribune. So the plan recommendations, very briefly, we developed goals. And basically, we have, we'll walk you very fast through it. We have crossing recommendations, the cross section itself, with the trade off, the transit, and streetscape, and then we'll move into funding and implementation. So, crossings, curb extensions in the west part of Foster, the grid comes at an angle that leaves wide the intersections with Foster wide, encouraging cars to take a fast right in or fast right out. And making it harder for pedestrians to cross along Foster. So we're tightening them up with curb extensions. Additionally, we're providing several, 6 rapid flash beacons at these locations in yellow. Improved that some of them already have the median, we'll be upgrading them as well as providing rapid flash beacons. What is that? It's basically when you, as technology, you push the button and immediately flashes. Cars compliance goes way up, about 80% or higher. Especially effective at night when people can see you and you can safely cross. They've proven to be very effective. So those are and have received wide support. The cross section, as you mentioned, on top you have the existing that I just went through, and then at the bottom they're recommended. So from 4 lanes in this case, from 52nd to 72nd, we have starting at about 54th actually. We have 4 travel lanes existing, and we're recommending 3. One in each direction plus a center turn median, and that allows us to provide the safety benefit I'll be talking in a little bit, but also providing a buffer bike lane. That is a bike lane plus additional 2 feet of separation from cars. From 72nd to 80th, we continue the same treatment. The bike, we don't quite have the space for a buffer bike lane, but we're providing a standard bike lane of 6 feet, carrying the 3 travel lanes, and the parking on the south side remains. The parking in the north, which is never used, goes away. And the sidewalks remain at about 15 feet. And then in the Lens area, where the sidewalks are very substandard, you have 5 feet. We'll be converting the 4 lanes to 3, 2 in each direction, and center turn lane again, providing the 6 feet on each side for bike lanes. But here, the parking on both sides goes for about 4 blocks. And instead, we're able to provide to widen the sidewalk from 5 to 9. That allows us to move the utilities out of the way, create a clear path for pedestrians and people with disability, wheelchair to get through, and provide the bike lane as a buffer between the sidewalk and the moving traffic. In this case, 9 feet allows us to move the utilities, but also provide small trees. In addition, you know, typically with 5 feet, with redevelopment, we would require 7 feet of additional property be dedicated. In this case, because we're widening the sidewalk, the requirement would be 3 feet. So there is an economic benefit to the redevelopment in this area. We went through, we developed 20 cross-section options, and we vetted them with the community, and we developed our criteria. Of them, we narrowed down to 4, and then we had our 4th open house, and we asked people to vote, and then the 5th one to confirm the recommended. Overall, strong support, about 80% in the last open house with the 3-lane cross-section. The special outreach, as the commissioner mentioned, confirmed. Actually, the support was higher than 80% when we almost unanimous when we went out there and met with folks. Let's see if I can do it better now. Okay, I can learn. So some of the benefits, why are we doing this, the trade-off? You know, on the benefit side, doesn't like me, though. Can I cancel? Thank you. Yes. Two should sing together. And the benefits, the clear one is the widening of the sidewalks from 5 to 9 feet and allowing trees and moving the utilities in the lens area. But also, very important is the elimination of the double threat. The commissioner spoke about it. Here's a graphic. National study, FHWA, Federal Highways, indicates a 20% decrease in crashes for all the modes, including vehicles, cars, from a conversion from 4 to 3 lanes. We have higher statistics for Seattle and the city of Portland as well. So basically what it does is when eliminates the chance when you have 2 lanes of traffic and you have a pedestrian, in this case, walking, the first one you can make eye contact and have the car stop, but then the second one doesn't see you, and then it's too late. So the second image here, in the driver's view, you're going fine, you don't understand why this car came to a stop, and then when you do realize that it's too late, there's a collision about to happen, and those are very serious. So it eliminates the double threat for pedestrians. As well as there are other benefits, it allows, by having a center turn lane, allows the median island in the middle to be bigger, as well as rear ends from vehicles. Cars in the inside lane can get out of the way in a center turn lane to make a left turn. Usually the vehicle in front of you stops wanting to find a gap to make a left, and there are rear ends. And also lane shifts that occur as people lose patience with the car wanting to make a left turn, as well as people from side streets making a left turn. It's harder. You have several lanes to get out. Here you have fewer lanes to get out, but also you have a space in the middle to station as you make your two-stage left. Cyclists, you see another cyclist here. The benefit would be continuous bicycle lanes from Lansdowne Center at 90th to the upcoming 50th bikeway. They're being built right now at 52nd. And that generates about 3,000 riders every day by 2035 based on a metro model. So the traffic impact, as the commissioner here has explained, we are limiting the capacity. So throughout most of the day, on weekends, though, when the traffic is not very high, there would not be significant changes. There would not be changes to traffic patterns. During the peak time, some of the traffic will divert. During the PM peak, which is the heaviest traffic on the weekday, up to 30% of the traffic in the peak will find other arterials. What are those? In this case, we have the benefit of a well-connected arterial network. So some of the traffic will go to Powell, 82nd, as well as Holgate, and find its way. This is traffic primarily in this area adjacent to Foster and the Foster Powell. Basically, people are shifting their pattern. If they used to come from Foster, now they will come from Powell, that sort of thing. So we have the benefit of a good arterial network, but also we have the benefit in this case of a pretty broken up local street network. So it will be hard for people to find a local route to save time. Not only is it broken, but you have several stop signs and things that will prevent people from doing that.
Mauricio, just to clarify, when you say we have the benefit of a broken local street network, that means that you don't expect cars to start zipping through the side streets at high speeds because it's really impossible to do so.
Correct. Usually it's a negative, but in this case it's a positive. Usually we want a well-connected grid, and we have it through much of Portland, and that's what makes us makes the system behave much more efficiently. In this case, it helps us with diversion. So for those who stay on Foster, we are our model indicates about an additional 3 minutes of travel time to cross the entire corridor. Not everybody does that. About two-thirds don't. So the average travel time is about 2 minutes. Something to note is that usually when we do transit projects and all that, we can project to the future, and the model allows us to do that. So we can project by 2035 with 4 lanes and the growth in the region, the growth in the corridor, traffic would just get heavier on a 4-lane road, so that by 2035, the 7 minutes that it takes to travel the corridor now would increase to 9 naturally. So the 3 minutes actually becomes 1 minute when you compare it to a 3-lane in the future, which pretty much kind of caps the capacity and doesn't allow it to grow. So 3 minutes through the corridor in the short term, 2 minutes on average, but compared to an old build in the future, it's about 1 minute. Now moving on to transit, we work with TriMet and the community to identify locations to provide new and updated shelters, as well as align the stops with the protected crossings that we talked about. In terms of streetscape, we're recommending in some areas, such as the heart of Foster and Holgate, and also in a part in Lens, ornamental lights, in this case the Lumex Z40. It's a historic light and complements what we just put out there in Lentz Town Center. The area has potential for a lot of trees. There are very few, about one per block, so we're recommending lots more trees. There's a high-voltage line that runs on the south side, so we cannot quite take advantage of the wide sidewalks on the south side. But on the north side, we're recommending a large canopy. Final slide, I believe, prioritization on funding. The plan overall receives strong support from the community. The plan elements add up to more than the awarded funds, the $5.25 million, but come close. There are some long-term items at 82nd and others that I think we need to wait for or wait for funding. But we come very close. So the last exercise we had with the second with the public, and we also asked them for a vote, was to prioritize how we spend the $5.25 million. The priority was for safety and improvements on the whole stretch from Powell to Lentz, and the priority be for the crossings and for the cross-section and the cross-section that comes with the wider sidewalks. And that's what's in the plan. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Questions?
Is there any potential for undergrounding utilities?
In the Lentz area, potentially where we widen the sidewalk, we may have a discussion with the utility company and also determine what the cost would be. We'll be certainly moving the poles out and things out of the way, so it's the best opportunity we had to explore that. It hasn't been costed out that way, but
that when you showed the picture with the ornamental lights, it would look so much better without the pole there as well. Yeah. And then also thinking if we passed the Google franchise this morning and wondering if we can make sure that we coordinate with Google to while we're doing these great improvements to do theirs at the same time if they're at that stage.
So even if we don't put everything in the street, we might want to put conduit in the street.
Isn't that our policy is to put conduit in the street anyway? In case.
I don't know if we always do that.
Not always. It depends on the district. Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering about elimination of on-street parking in the Lentz Town Center and how that may affect ultimate hopes and aspirations for more commercial development in the town center.
So on the one side, it does allow us if there's a redevelopment, there's more land for redevelopment. But also we walked and drove the area on many occasions, and it's actually quite underutilized. First of all, there's only park on these four blocks. There's park on the south side. And all of the retailers there have off-street parking. We always counted about two cars parked on this four-block stretch. So there is off-street parking as well as parking on the side street. So we think in this case, like the commissioner was saying, trade-off, I think the benefit of a much safer and actually accessible sidewalk with trees and utilities out of the way outweigh the potential negative effect of parking that can be mitigated on the side streets and also on off street.
Okay, thank you.
Any more questions? All right.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Other folks.
Yes,
we
have four invited guests, which maybe we could squeeze everybody up at once. Nancy Chapin, representing the Foster Area Business Association. Christian Smith, representing Foster Powell Neighborhood Association. Bob Kellett, Neighborhood Planning Program Manager, representing Southeast Uplift. And Luke Bonham, representing Rose CDC. Welcome.
Who's on first? Nancy, I think you are.
I guess so. Well, Mayor Hales and Commissioner, I'm Nancy Chapin, representing the Foster Area Business Association and my business, TSG Services, which has been located a half block off of Foster Road in the Mount Scott Arleta neighborhood since 2005. I also started staffing the business association in 96 and was involved in the development of the original Foster Streetscape Plan approved in 2003. Now, it's been my pleasure over the years to learn the history of Foster Road and its use as the path from Damascus through Lentz to Southeast 49th, where it disappears without a trace. But there's a lot happening between Southeast 49th and Damascus. However, but especially, there has been change, growth, improvements, and excitement in the area known as Lentz. For several years after I-205 was built, Lentz was ignored, divided in half, and left to deteriorate, but not anymore. A group of residents and businesses from Lentz and nearby Ken Turner from Eastport Plaza was at the table from day one, and they started the ball rolling. And they and more residents and business people have spent countless hours working, planting, planning, building Lents with PDC, the city, Rose CDC, and many others. They've created a place that deserves to have the road running through it, be safe, walkable, and a beautiful gateway to this rebuilt and much cared for area in Southeast Portland. Their dreams have brought a community to life and a pride in being Lents grown. The International Farmers Market and the new businesses in Lents and all along Foster Road deserve the Foster Road envisioned in the plan before you. And they need it now. The neighbors who live in Foster Powell, Mount Scott Arleta, and Creston Cannonworth need it now. Foster Road is their main street. Their friends and customers need it now. Even those who commute through it need it now. Because if they are slowed down and see all that Foster Road and its businesses have to offer, they will stop and shop for their necessities, enjoy the food and entertainment too, and help with the economic growth that we're all looking forward to. Sincerely, as a business owner on Foster Road, who assisted with the Foster Target Area Project in 1988 and through 2001, and the Foster Area Business Association since 1996, and in the start of the signature event, Fun on Foster, the 8th annual is on September 27th this year, so get it on your calendars, and on the advisory committee that worked together over a year and a half to approve this plan, I urge you to pass it and fund it to the fullest extent possible as rapidly as possible. We not only recognize Foster as a long road, but also as well worth being able to travel on safely by foot, bicycles, transit, and other motor vehicles, giving your favorite businesses on Foster, as well as in Lents, the chance to embrace the many opportunities the changes spoken to in this plan will offer the entire community. Mayor Hales, commissioners, it's time to accept this plan again in its updated state and to commit to spending the funding available for it now. Find the time to complete it and to celebrate the entire project of making Foster Road a safe, welcoming artery with services, products, entertainment, gathering places, and the needs of our neighbors, business owners, and friends being met along the way, as well as in the spiffed up and welcoming Lents.
Thank you, Tom.
Hello, everybody. My name is Christian Smith. I've had the privilege of spending the last 9 years on the board of directors of the Foster Powell Neighborhood Association, where I've spent a great deal of my time and energy on trying to make Foster Road a more livable street. I want to take a second first to acknowledge like just the hard work of everyone in the community who's spent and done and invested in this over so many years. And I want to give a special mention to two people, Erica Bierning and Tracy Grotto, who weren't able to be here today, but without whose tireless advocacy and dedication to this project, we might not be where we are today. Also, I think it's definitely fair to acknowledge the controversy about this project, specifically for our neighbors who are concerned about longer commute times. But it's important to remember that the original streetscape plan adopted in 2003 actually did call for lowering traffic speeds on Foster Road. So slowing down traffic on Foster has been part of city policy for over a decade, but it's just been trying to figure out how do we get there. I think the original project was going to cost around $10 million, and we've got about half of that to spend. So it wasn't nearly enough to go with any of the original recommendations. Things kind of started coming to a boil a few years ago. We had a rash of pedestrian fatalities on Foster Road. And out of that turmoil, that's where the idea came to reconfigure the lanes into the three-lane idea. At first, this came out, and people looked at it as how to get the most bang for the buck, since street paint's cheaper than traffic signals and curb extensions. But we did more outreach and more engineering studies and looked at it more. It turns out that the revised plan was even better than the original, because not only does the new lane configuration accomplish the original goals of slowing traffic down, makes Foster even safer for pedestrians, safer for cars, especially when you're turning left onto Foster, and it adds the bike facilities that were glaringly absent from the original plan. So in short, The revised plan, as it is, genuinely improves on the old plan, but it does so at a significant savings. One last thing I kind of wanted to mention was the funding. So we've got about $5.25 million to spend. Some of the sidewalks, as you saw in the PowerPoint, east of 82nd, are so bad that you literally almost can't walk down them. And so that's going to take up almost a third of the budget just for a 4 to 5 block stretch. So that's the way it is. But that means that the remaining two-thirds of the budget have to be stretched out over the remaining 34 blocks. And so one last thing that I would like to advocate here for, besides a yes vote, obviously, would be just to say that if any additional funding comes available for the Lentz URA to please, please, please scrape together anything that might help finish whatever projects ended up getting dropped off because of the funding constrictions. That's kind of all I got. I just want to thank all of you again for everything you've done and all of you that have helped us out through the years and supported us and for bringing it for a vote, and especially thank everybody here who showed up today, give us support, and next.
Thank you. Mayor Hales, members of City Council, my name is Bob Killips. I'm the Neighborhood Planning Program Manager at Southeast Uplift, and I'm here to let you know that the Southeast Uplift Neighborhood Land Use and Transportation Committee voted at its May meeting to endorse the Foster Transportation and Streetscape Plan. As you all know, our district coalition is made up of 20 neighborhoods, three of which, including Christian's, abut Foster Road, Southeast Foster. This is a very important road for the people who live, work, get around in our coalition. We recognize the important role that a safe, vibrant, and attractive Foster Road will play in our neighborhood, in our coalition, and in our city. This plan, we believe, will improve the safety for all road users, lay the groundwork for much-needed economic activity, and enhance the livability of the adjacent neighborhoods as well as neighborhoods afar. We want to thank you for your opportunity working together to make Portland a safer and better place to get around, live, work, and play. I also want to thank Mauricio and his team for engaging us through the Stakeholder Advisory Committee and many outreach meetings. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Luke Bonham. I live in the Lentz neighborhood, but I also work for Rose Community Development. Rose CDC is a neighborhood organization that's been in Outer Southeast for 22 years. We own and maintain a lot of housing along the Foster Corridor, specifically east of 72nd. So what we want to add to what everybody else has said is just we definitely support the priority of pedestrian safety. We're tired of seeing vigils happen for people that die crossing Foster and other busy streets in Southeast and East Portland. And we also really would love to see the business corridor thrive. And I think right now there's such a barrier to people crossing and walking down Foster that's holding the business area back as well. So we did some outreach at our housing, which houses low-income families. And we heard sort of echoed the need for good walkability to get to schools and to get across the streets, as well as it's just the place where people live, and they want it to be nice. And if they live along Foster Road, there's some challenges to just the neighborhood livability. So we especially, want children, those with disabilities, seniors to have what they need to get across the road and to work and play and live happily in that area. We see the benefits of similar improvements from the 4 to 3 lanes, like on Holgate, as well as Gleason, and those maybe don't see as much traffic, but really see the benefit of that center turn lane that makes it a lot easier. I use the Beacon crossings on Foster, so I'd love to see more of those go in, because it really makes you more visible. And also as a bike rider and a driver, I think just getting through the area is important. And I think we support this improvement because I think it hits all of those goals. And we'd love to see continued improvements to our east and southeast neighborhoods, just to address these safety concerns on busy streets and dangerous intersections. So thanks for putting your time and energy and money into these projects.
Thank you. Thank you all.
I just want to thank you all for your enduring work on this over many decades, and especially over the last 10 years. And it's proof that if you do keep sticking with something and then look at the plan before and improve it, that good things are going to happen. It's great that we've got about half the funding that we need, so at least we know we're going to do something. I just encourage you all to continue engaging in our processes, and in particular in Commissioner Novick's discussion of how do we pay for street improvements and safety improvements all over the city. I think Foster Powell is really exemplary of a place that needs safety improvements and also a fairly low-income neighborhood surrounding it that can't afford to pay all that much. But I know that you're willing, you've proven with your donations of time that you're willing to engage in helping us figure out how do we provide that extra piece of funding for what we can't get federal, metro, state money for. Thank you very much. Oh, and Fun with Foster is on my calendar.
Thank you. Okay, any other invited speakers?
No.
Okay, then let's turn to the sign-up sheet, please, Carl.
We have 21 people signed up. The first three, please, coming up are Carol Speck, Dave Speck, and Sarah, I believe last name is Inarone. Yeah. Inarone, sorry. And they'll be followed by John Mulvey, Lee Allegood, and Megan Humphreys.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you. It's an experience being here.
Just give us your name for the record.
All righty. I'm Carol Speck. Mm-hmm. I'm on the opposition. I agree with the following definition from Wikipedia. Foster Road is a major transportation artery, giving needed automobiles access to the city center or the interstate. The road is home to frequent service TriMet bus lines. Taking away driving lanes will affect too many drivers, even in the outlying areas, not just now, but in the future. Using PAL as a substitute for accessing the interstate is not desirable, as cars are backed up there as it is. In the Mercury bike issue, June 2014, Rex Burkholder, bicyclist, thinks the city should be focusing on improving its busiest corridors as he wants to get to the pub or his work fast. Don't we share that goal of getting to our destinations as efficiently as possible? My husband and I use Foster Road frequently. In two-lane traffic, getting stuck behind unfocused drivers makes traveling difficult. Trying to make up for lost time causes traffic violations and hazards. The blinking lights and crosswalk at 80th and Foster Road has improved safety for pedestrians. We don't hear of the accidents there like we previously did. Establishing bike lanes in the city's busiest commercial roads is a harder fix. However, commercial roads need to accommodate their traffic load. Closing one's eyes to that fact hurts the city a lot, making driving burdensome so more of us will take to bikes has caused a backlash against the city planners and bike coalition. In speaking to my neighbors in the 45th and Holgate area about the Foster Streetscape plan, they have expressed opposition to this plan, as well as anger about pro-bike changes that have, quote-unquote, messed up other areas. At an open house, which I certainly haven't been aware of, I never got any notice about anything that this was going on, even though I live in the neighborhood. Two folks voiced strong opposition to the proposed plan, and one stated he preferred the status quo, as referenced in the B magazine. Lately, I drive on Foster with a sinking feeling that a mistake could take place. I invite the commissioners and mayor to drive the 40-block stretch and decide if they would want the proposed changes on their regularly traveled route. And I'm not sure how much money will be involved in this, but it seems like there's a lot of us that would like to see the money spent a different way. Other city issues, yeah. So my idea is that I don't want the plan to go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks very much.
And thanks for your efforts on behalf of the city.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Dave Specht, and I live in the Creston neighborhood at 4320 Southeast 45th Avenue. Considerations against the Foster Streetscape Plan. The massive changes proposed need more than special interest group affirmation, which has not been properly undertaken during the planning stages. Already in 1974, when I moved to Portland, Foster Road was 4 lanes wide and had heavy commuter traffic to and from downtown Portland. Traffic has increased and not abated since opening I-205 and the incomplete widening of both Powell and Sunnyside roads. In addition to the bus traffic Foster Road already had and still has, it now supports major I-205 on-ramps and off-ramps. Instead of undertaking the greater expense of expanding the already generous sidewalks with planters and trees, adding bike lanes, and reducing through automobile lanes from 4 to 2, the much less expensive alternative is to keep the 4 lanes and make the left-hand turn lane completely continuous, either by eliminating parking entirely and or by selectively removing portions of sidewalks. The proper way that accounts for the uneven passageway of Foster as you drive through. It's not the same width all the way along. The proper way to improve pedestrian safety is to limit crossing to selective, suitably spaced intersections with marked crosswalks and to eliminate crossing at unsuitably placed intersections by installing crossing prohibited signs. This would be an absolute necessity if efficient streetcars were put in place. Streetcars are much preferable to bicycles. Too much has been said about making Portland the bike capital of the nation, and not enough has been said about its impracticalities. Portland has one of the worst climates for this goal. The majority of the time, it is raining. Twice I have been rained on in the middle of a 50-mile bike ride on Springwater Trail, 8 laps on the highway-grade paved Gresham segment with my racing bike. My entire backside was coated with mud sprayed up by the rear wheel from water on the trail. Imagine this occurrence if I were riding to and from work in my business suit. Also imagine trying to carry $100 worth of groceries home on my bike. In conclusion, Portland needs to stop impeding traffic flow by creating bottlenecks like the Foster Streetscape plan.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. Thank you for your time and your efforts on our behalf. My name is Sarah Iannarone. I am a small business owner in the Mount Scott Arleta neighborhood and also a homeowner there. Today, I want to thank you for the investments, public investments you've made in our neighborhood so far. We're particularly excited to welcome our new neighbors at the Portland Mercado, which is my neighbor down the street from my restaurant there. The plan you have before you today is the result of a conversation that's been going on for neighbors for over a decade, as Nancy pointed out. In that time since we started the discussion, Portland has grown and thrived. We've continued to urbanize, especially to the south and to the east, and many of the benefits of that growth have accrued in the urban core and have not been realized at the edge of the city. Many people would argue that Foster Road is a good example of this. I personally invested my money and my energy in that neighborhood because I saw Foster Road in that corridor as a bridge between the center of the city and the outlying areas. I think that the changes that we make on Foster Road will be indicative of how we continue to treat commercial corridors outside the center city, and we can use it as an example of best practices of how we're going to continue to make neighborhoods commercially viable and at the same time safe for cyclists, motorists, and pedestrians, and I hope streetcar on Foster Road. I think that would be really cool. So your approval of the 3-lane option with bicycle lanes says to the people of my community that you share our vision for the future. We're moving away from a carbon-intensive city. Our activities are changing. We need you to support our climate action plans. This plan is in line with the climate action plan. Efficient stormwater management, good air quality. The trees are very important to the health and livability of our city. It also means you share a vision of quality, compact growth. The attractive amenities aren't reserved for neighborhoods like the Pearl District. Neighborhoods like Foster Road, Division, Mississippi, North Williams, Gleason have all benefited from improvements to the streetscape. Finally, and most importantly, your approval of this plan means you share our vision for an equitable city so that the benefits are spread equally and that a livable Portland includes East Portland. Thank you.
Thank you.
What's the name of your restaurant?
The Arleta Library Cafe, and it's amazing. Go eat there.
It's a a great place. Okay, thank you very much. Next three, please.
Are John Mulvey, Lee Allegood, and Megan Humphreys, and they'll be followed by Angela Cortal, Steph Routh, and Laurel Newton.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales, members of the council. My name is John Mulvey. I'm a longtime resident of Southeast Portland. I've been engaged with advocating for safety improvements on Foster for about 8 years now. That includes 4 years as a member of the Lentz Urban Renewal Advisory Committee. Mauricio and Nancy and some of the others talked about some of the things that have taken place before this planning process started about 2 years ago, and so I wanted to flesh that out a little bit for you. Foster Road has been a dangerous street for a long time now. In 2002-2003, a group of citizens got together to try to do something about the problems with pedestrian safety. They created the Foster Streetscape plan for this 30-block, two-plus-mile area of Foster Road. The plan was adopted by the council in 2003, and at that time, many of us took that as a promise by the city to address safety and livability issues in the Foster area. Unfortunately, the council never identified funding for the project, and the plan languished on the shelf for most of the next decade. During this time, traffic volumes continued to climb, and close calls against vulnerable road users multiplied. What was once a country road evolved into a de facto highway as growth in areas like Damascus and Happy Valley led to more and more commuters coming to the major employers like OHSU. City data has shown that between 2000 and 2009, there were more than 1,200 crashes and 8 fatalities on Foster Road. One city study, this was the high crash corridor study, reached a finding that the incidence of crashes caused by drivers disregarding traffic signals was about 60% higher than the citywide average. So we know there's an infrastructure problem specifically on Foster Road. People in the area who have been frustrated by these delays fortunately didn't wait for action on the city's part and sort of took it upon themselves. One result of that was an extended process of participation in the Lentz Urban Renewal Area. We were able to secure $2 million. Unfortunately, as that process went on, the fatalities continued, and there was one stretch of time between August 2009 and January 2012 when 4 pedestrians were killed. So this is ongoing as the negotiations with PDC and the city are taking place. This has been a phenomenally inclusive process. And so I'll wrap up there, but I did want to just remind you that this is possibly the most inclusive transportation planning process that's ever been in the city, at least in recent memories. It's gone on over 10 years. There have been mailings, there have been open houses, et cetera. So it's sort of hard to fathom that anyone has not heard about this at this point. So I'll leave it there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Megan Humphreys. I'm a resident of the Mount Scott Arleta neighborhood and also on the board of the Mount Scott Arleta Neighborhood Association for the past 5 years. I just want to thank you, first of all, for taking action on the Foster Streetscape Plan today. This has been a project that's been more than 10 years in the making, as many people have said. In the 12 years I've lived in the neighborhood, I've had to live with Foster Road and the safety issues that really will be fixed by this plan or will be greatly improved. Because of this, I'm really anxious to see that three-lane option with the bike lanes and sidewalk improvements be built as soon as possible. As a board member of the Neighborhood Association, I've heard for months and years firsthand the desire of my neighbors for Foster Road to be improved. We want to be able to cross Foster without feeling like our lives are at risk every time we go have breakfast. We want to go a whole year without mourning the loss of one of our neighbors crossing the street. I don't want to go to any more vigils in coming years. We want our neighborhood to be more livable, and we want our Foster Road businesses to benefit from increased foot and bike traffic. We want the positive things that are already planned for Foster, like the Portland Mercado, the Foster Row Arts Center, the 50s Bikeway, to be able to grow and thrive and spur more improvements. And I, like many of us here today, have obviously volunteered a lot of hours to help craft and update the streetscape plan. We did this work because we need a complete street. We need one that is going to provide a safe environment for all modes of travel, for people of all ages and abilities, that's going to spur economic vitality and make a vibrant Foster Road possible. So I urge you to please vote yes today to make that happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and council members. My name is Lee Alligood. I'm the chair of the Foster Powell Neighborhood Association, and I'm here on behalf of the Neighborhood Association in support of this plan. The plan has been recommended by the advisory group. There have been hundreds of hours dedicated to considering the implications of this plan. I want to thank that group for their work. As a resident of the Foster Powell neighborhood for the last 10 years or so, I've been eagerly waiting for this moment when the plan would actually move from the planning stage to actual implementation, and I imagine Mauricio is pretty excited to see that happen as well, and I want to thank him for all of his work on this project. I won't restate any of the things that have been said already other than to say that I agree with them and that, again, the Neighborhood Association wholeheartedly supports adoption of this plan.
Thank you. Questions? Thank you all. Okay, next three, please.
Are Angela Cortall, Steph Routh, and Laurel Newton, and they'll be followed by Malia Sajko, Nick Falbo, and Dan Campbell.
Welcome.
Hi. My name is Laurel Newton, and I'm here in support of the streetscape plan. I live near the intersection of Foster and Powell, and I walk and drive and bike in the area, but that's not why I'm here. I'm here as the shop manager of Sock Dreams, where Lindsay Leonard worked before she and her roommate Jess were hit by a car and killed, crossing Foster and crosswalk across from Fred Meyer. This was an example of the double threat situation. Lindsay was 23 and a recent graduate of Reed College, and she was just beginning to figure out what she wanted to be. Two nights before she died, we had a grand opening party at the then new Sock Dream shop in Selwood. And it was a costume party, and she came wearing an amazing headdress. She was dressed up as Robin Goodfellow from Midsummer Night's Dream. I'm really glad that that was the last time I saw her in that costume, because she really exemplifies that character. She was really smart and funny and a fierce, fabulous lady, and she's missed. I had reservations about coming here and presuming to be a representative for Lindsay and her family and the people who loved her, because I only knew her for a year, but she was my friend, and her death was a real shock and a tragedy for her family, continues to be a tragedy for us and her coworkers, and honestly for the whole community for not getting to know what she was going to be. I'm here to talk about Lindsay because, unfortunately, her death reinforced the need for changes on Foster. She shouldn't have to be a symbol for change, a symbol for the necessity of safe streets. She should be going to graduate school. Or still putting it off, not representing how the basic safety of people walking and going to the grocery store is something that needs to be a priority. Of course, the places where people shop and work and live should be safe to walk. Of course, people shouldn't have to worry about dying when they pop out to grab a salad dressing at the store. Basically, I'm sad that Lindsay has become a symbol for the tragedy that occurs when streets and stores and communities are hastily planned around the convenience of car travel and not for the people inside those cars or outside those cars. I'm sad that Lindsay, my coworker and friend, is a symbol for the necessity of improvements and not still alive. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
My name is Steph Routh. I live on 85th between Holgate and Foster, and I'm here to support the Foster Streetscape Plan. A few years ago, when I was executive director of Oregon Walks, we had a number of crosswalk safety education actions in partnership with the Portland Police Bureau and Portland Bureau of Transportation. And one of those was on Foster for the same reasons that John had mentioned earlier about lack of compliance. And so we did it on the Mark crosswalk of Y Arts. And even as we were setting it up, because we had two different signs, one was like, please stop for people, and the other one was a big thank you. And the idea was like that I would walk across, you know, the idea was reminding people of Oregon's crosswalk law. And then when people actually complied, they got a big old thank you, like as immediate gratification. And even before we set up, when people were walking, you know, their kids to the YR